If you didn't know, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and if you're like me, forever, like growing up in church, I'd forget what Advent meant. I knew it had something to do with Christmas, but the definition of Advent, like not even attached to Christmas, is just the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. Though when we hear Advent, I only hear it connected to Christmas. Like, I've never heard of the advent of anything else really in life. So maybe in your homes you have like some kind of way to celebrate Advent, to count down the days before Christmas. I think we have a slide of this thing that we have in our home to, yes. So this is like this little, I don't know what to call it. It's got a bunch of little doors on it, and we put little treats in it for our kids. So to count down the days of Advent, super fun. So maybe you have something like that in your house, but it's getting you ready for Christmas, because Christmas is it's coming, and what we're remembering is that Jesus came. But before Jesus came, God's people were waiting a really, really long time. They were looking forward to Advent, the coming of the Savior. They knew that God had promised to send a Savior to come and rescue God's people. Now, they didn't understand how he would come, even though throughout the Old Testament, there were all these clues that God was given as to how the Savior would come. But they believed God's promise that he would, in fact, send a Savior into the world. So this leads me to the word of the focus, I guess, of our first Advent Sunday is hope. It's the hope that we have, not only that Jesus did come, but that he will return. So we're going to talk about hope briefly in three different ways: hope forgotten, hope found, and hope forever. We often use the word hope, but we don't use it, most of us at least, maybe none of us, the same way the Bible uses it. When we use the word hope, it's more like a wish, right? So you might hope that something goes the way you want it to. Maybe you've got like a basketball game or a soccer game coming up this week, or maybe there's a math test that you're hoping you will do really well on to pull that grade up, or perhaps you're in choir or in band, or maybe you're part of a play and you're hoping it's going to go a certain way, or adults, maybe there's a meeting coming up and you're hoping it will go away. Or I guess another one, Christmas is coming, so maybe there's a gift you're hoping for, right? In fact, my guess is all of us have some gift we're hoping for. So with the person right next to you, what's like one gift, you can only pick one, that you're hoping for, hoping it'll be under the tree? Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you 15 seconds. What are you hoping for? All right, wrap it up there. I'm not going to ask what the gift is that you're hoping for, but here's the thing. You don't actually know if you're going to get that gift. I mean, maybe you do know, maybe you cheated and like your mom or dad already bought it and it's hidden somewhere in the house and you do know you're going to get it. But for the most part, the hopes that we have, we don't know if they're going to come true. They're more of a wish, but hope in the Bible is not like that. Because biblical hope is based on God's promises, right? It's something that we can trust will happen because of who God is, right? Because God said he will do it, and we can trust that he will do it. We're going to look at how the author of Hebrews describes what hope is like. And actually, this verse was read earlier. But in Hebrews 6, the author's talking about Abraham trusting in God's promise. He promised that he would give Abraham and Sarah a son in their really old age, and they'd never been able to have a kid. And he says, "I'm gonna give you a son. And in fact, I'm gonna give you land. I'm gonna through this son, I'm gonna make you a great nation, so great that you're going to bless the nations of the world." God swore that he would do this, and Abraham believed God. His hope was in God's promises. So here's that verse in Hebrews. I'm just going to read Hebrews 6, 19. He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I love that. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. So this hope It's like an anchor for your soul, right? An anchor keeps your boat, your ship from like drifting around. An anchor keeps you in one spot, even if the waves are going crazy, even if the wind is blowing, even if the current is trying to push or pull you in a way. An anchor keeps you. Man, do you smell something? Matt, could you check on whatever that is? Sorry, my nose is like, what is happening? I'm sure everything's fine. Matt will let me know.
They're making cookies.
They are making, did you say cookies?
There's a lot of cookies in here.
That is an unexpected surprise for me. So I'll talk about cookies in a second, but hope in God's promises, Matt told me he was going to ham it up. I didn't know what that would be like. Hope in God's promises, it's like an anchor, right? It's like an anchor that you're tethered to. And stuff around you in life might be like the wind and the waves pushing and pulling on you, or like that current, and you feel like life is just hard, and you don't know what to do. You're discouraged. Maybe you don't want to trust God, but it's like you're tethered, the author's saying, to this anchor that's your hope. Our hope in God it's like a real anchor that keeps you steady and secure because it's in God. Now God's people knew God's promise to send a Savior, and that's why we're using these cookies as an illustration, right, for what hope is like. So hope, it's like, I don't know if you can actually smell the cookies. I think I still can. They've been going for a while, but it's like smelling the cookies, right? There's this anticipation, right? I hope you all know what cookies taste like. I assume by now you have to. When you bake cookies at home, you're anticipating, right? The smell's wafting through the whole house, but you have to wait a while. I mean, maybe your parents gave you some cookie dough, which is fine. That's not cheating, but it's not as good, or at least in my opinion, it's not as good as a warm cookie. Right? Now, the cookies we bake at our house, I think it's like 12 minutes and those chocolate chip cookies are done. And I swear, time is going so much slower on my timer as I look. I'm like, how is it not time to pull them out yet? And then even once you pull them out, they've got to sit on that pan and cool down for some reason for a couple minutes. I don't understand all the science behind that. But then you put them onto the cooling rack, and they've got to sit there for a little bit and kind of solidify, because I'm sure we've all, or maybe just me, but you've gone to grab a cookie too soon, and it's too hot, and it kind of crumbles, right? You need it to solidify, and then you can go and get that cookie and taste it, right? And even now, I'm kind of salivating. Because my brain, really my whole body, like believes cookies are coming, and I obviously need more cookies in my life. God's people heard God's promise that he would send a Savior, right? And there's this anticipation, almost like us being able to smell the cookies. At the beginning of the service, we heard some of the promises in the Old Testament, but here's another one from the prophet Micah 7:7. It says, as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me, right? I watch in hope for the Lord. Like you can hear his confidence in the waiting, his confidence, his trust in the Lord. So God's people, they waited and they waited and they waited for generations. And they waited so long that I'm pretty sure at least some people stopped hoping. Right, it was too hard for them to hope anymore. Matt, I actually need a cookie. Could you go check and see if one's ready? I don't know if you know this, but he'll be back soon, I'm sure. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, does anybody know how many years took place in between Old Testament and New Testament in our Bibles? What's wrong, Matt?
The cookies burned.
How did they burn? Are you serious? That,
didn't put somebody in there.
You're right. I forgot that.
Let me check one
detail. Man, it's hard when you're hoping for something and it's gone, just like that.
Oh, never mind.
Cookies are good?
That was my popcorn I left in there earlier this morning. We're good. We've got some cookies.
Oh, yes.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute indeed. It's good. I'll get to these in a moment. But for a moment there, we thought our hope for cookies was lost. And I should probably say this, after the service in room 7, there's going to be sugar cookies with frosting, and we all get to decorate them. Parents, you get to watch your kids, like make sure they don't go crazy. But we'll get to that in a moment. But let's imagine, though, not waiting for a cookie, but what it was like for God's people to wait, as God promised he would send a Savior. And I'm sure as they waited for generations, some lost their hope. Some doubted the promise of God, probably because it had been so long, right? Maybe it seemed like, man, this promise, it's never actually going to come true. Or maybe others just forgot about God's promise. It's hard to wait in life for anything. Life moves on, and it moves forward, and maybe we just forget. So we can smell the cookies right now, but if we sat in here long enough with this same cookie scent coming in, eventually our noses would get used to it, and our brains wouldn't even tell us anymore that there are cookies. We just wouldn't notice the smell. But for God's people, there are at least some who remembered God's promise. They didn't forget that he would send a son to be the Savior. Luke tells us about two different people in Luke chapter 2, Simeon and Anna. I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, which just means the promise of the Savior coming to Israel. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he, this is Simeon, would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting, with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Simeon and Anna, they're there. The hope that they'd been waiting for generations was found, right? Jesus was right there before their eyes. And just imagine like what that must have been like, right? Simeon was told by the Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Savior with his own eyes. What that must have been like for him. We've been waiting for these cookies. I've been waiting longer than you because I knew this was happening. And after the service, like I said, you'll get to have cookies, but I just want to take a little bite right now. Oh, it's so good. A warm, soft cookie. Man, I need milk right now. I did not think of that. I know, you'll get some cookies. You'll get some cookies, I promise you. But it is good, right? My hope was right on. And getting back to God's people, the Israelites, maybe know this, maybe don't, but the Israelites were not treated well by Rome. I have warm cookie, like, stuck. There we go. They were not treated well by Rome. They were used and abused. They longed for God to send a Savior to them, who they assumed would take out Rome, right? They imagined like a military conqueror that was going to come in. But Jesus came, and he came, it was more than him taking on this bully Rome. He came to save people from sin and death so that they could be with God forever. John 1:14. This is the beginning of John's gospel. In the 14th verse, it says, the word, this is Jesus, became flesh. and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, right? This is talking about Jesus' birth. He was always God, and now he also became human, fully God, fully human. He came to save his people, right? Christmas is, it's absolutely amazing. And if you're like me, like we can get distracted though, as we come up to Christmas, right? By the gifts, by the parties, even by cookies, the decorations. But Christmas is really, it's all about Jesus coming, born as a baby, right? We celebrate that Jesus came, that our hope has been found in Christ. And Christmas really celebrates two Advents. The first Advent, Jesus coming, but we're also awaiting, we're looking forward to this second Advent, that he will return. He's promised that he will return to gather everyone who has trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." So today we remember the first Advent, that the promised Savior was born. And we also look forward to the second Advent when Jesus will return. This is our forever hope that we have in Jesus.